Mickey Stonier, not Miles McPherson. I think you figured that all out. He's been ministering. He had the flu last week. He jumped on a plane, was in Virginia ministering there. He's ministering up north right now, and so I have the privilege of being with you today. I want to encourage you to open up to Acts chapter 2. We'll be in Acts chapter 2 this morning. Let me pray for us as we get our hearts prepared for what God has for us. Let's bow our hearts, would you? Lord, I do thank you for this amazing group of people, for those joining us online, for those sitting here in the auditorium, also for those up in North County that are gathering there. We just know that you're doing a work right now, and we just want to surrender our hearts, that you would be our teacher, that you would encourage us in the things that we have need of. And we know, Jesus, that this is about you, not about anybody else, not about anything or any circumstance. It's about you engaging us as your children. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's an honor to be here with you. I just want to start by saying this week, wherever I go in San Diego County, you are there. And I'm just so blessed to see and hear the stories of what God is doing through so many lives. We had a call to visit someone in the hospital who's in a coma, was in a motorcycle accident, and went there and met Deanna, his wife, or his girlfriend, and John prayed for him. And as I'm leaving, a physician there meets me and just says, "Hey, I go to The Rock." I said, "Really? His name's Frank." And I said, "What are you doing here?" And I explained the situation. He says, "Oh, that's one of my patients." I said, "I just prayed for you." And then I later on this week, I was getting my car repaired, and Aaron, who works on our production team's there, and he's just a bright light where he's at work, hooked me up with a great loaner car. This is real good. It's red, and it goes real fast, but I will drive very slowly. Throughout this week, just meeting you, hearing of you, and all that you're doing throughout this community. And I can speak on behalf of Miles and all the pastors. It's an honor to serve you. If you look at the top of your bulletin there in the study guide, it says there, "Those who have turned the world upside down." We're going through this series called The Life. The Life. It's the life of God in us as we live out our faith and community. Right below it says, "The Rock Church is committed to the vision." Here's our vision: pervasive hope, to bring hope to our community, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to every street, every person. But here's what I see is happening. It's through the lives of people being transformed by the Holy Spirit within a dynamic community that reflects Jesus Christ. You know, we talk about community groups, but it's not a group, it's not a program, it's who we are. Living life, walking life together, side by side, whether at work or here. Do you realize in your workplace, there's probably someone that works right next to you that just kind of bothers you, and you have these tension stuff, but you fail to realize that God has placed you there often as an answer to someone's prayer because that person's being prayed for. They're broken. They're coming from such a painful place, and we sometimes lose our perspective. That all throughout this county, God's people, whose lives are being transformed, to be able to testify that God, Jesus Christ, is risen. And we're going to do something different here. I know it might be uncomfortable for some of you, and maybe some of you are just visiting, and you know, the last thing you want to do is meet somebody or have to talk to somebody. But you're sitting right next to some of the most amazing people in San Diego. I know. I've met so many people, and hearing the stories of transformation that's taking place that only God can do. It's not The Rock. It's not Miles. It's not none of this. It's Jesus Christ is doing something supernatural in our midst, and you're the testimony of that work that he's doing. And sometimes we come in, and you're sitting next to a miracle, and you don't even know it. Right next to you is a miracle of what God has been doing. And I want to take just a few minutes for you to introduce yourself to a couple people. And here's what I want you to do. If you're connected here at The Rock, Share where you're living life in community, whether it's in a ministry, an outreach ministry, men or women's ministry. You're in a community group. You're at Impact 195, 12. You're connected somewhere where God has brought you into an amazing group of people whose lives are being transformed. And then tell someone what God is doing. And if you're not connected, you know, don't feel beat up or condemned or anything like that. It's like, here's an opportunity for you to hear what God can do. And if you're from another church, you're connected there, that's great. If you're online, whoever you're with, or even if you're alone, call somebody up and say, hey, I need to tell you something. God loves me, and I'm with an amazing group of people. So would you just turn for a moment, just a few moments, just two or three people, introduce yourself. Where are you connected in this life of God together, if at all? Okay, I can imagine you could spend the whole morning now connecting. If you wouldn't mind, we'll kind of reconnect again. We do have to read the scriptures today. We get to. How many are sitting next to a miracle? How many are sitting next to a miracle? You know, it is such a joy to be connected with all of you here. God is doing a special work, and it's Him through His Holy Spirit as we're studying through. In fact, if you read in your study guide there, the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God who has reconciled, that's a word that just means made things right, made things the way they should be, reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, helping people be brought into this life and dynamic. In fact, the verse there, 1 John 5:12, this series, The Life, here, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Now, that is not a verse that would just bring condemnation on people, but it's a verse that testifies of the freedom and the joy of what God can do through His Word in transforming our lives into His life. This afternoon, after the service here, our noon service, I have to drive up into North County, and I have the privilege of doing a wedding from a couple that met at Impact 195, our discipleship training school. They met there and happened to be in all these different connection points, and yet Danielle, she said, you know, she made a commitment, didn't want a relationship, wasn't looking, she just wanted more of her relationship to develop with God, and so she told Mike, she said, you know, stay away from me. And no matter what she did, she ended up in his group. There was even a class on relationships. She purposely sat on the other side of the room, and then as we were teaching, we got them into groups, she ended up in his group. Well, today, this afternoon at 3:30, now who would have a wedding on 3:30 Super Bowl Sunday? You know, what's more, what pastor would say, oh yeah, I'll do that wedding, you know? Yeah, it's a joy. It is a joy. I love weddings. I love doing weddings. Grand Tradition. A pastor who got sick and wasn't able to do the wedding he was supposed to do, and he called me that morning saying, I got the flu. Can you do this wedding? I didn't know the couple. It was up at Grand Tradition. It's got a heart-shaped lake with swans in it and a gazebo, and the music's all playing, and I'm standing there in the gazebo, had my suit on, didn't even know this couple, but I had, you know, got some information. And in the wedding party is the brother of the bride and the sister of the groom. And so the violins are playing, and I'm gorgeous day. And then the bride comes in on a carriage with her father beside her, a horse-drawn carriage. And it comes down, and I'm looking at the carriage. Listen, I lost it. I just started crying. I didn't even know these people, you know. Just started to weep and to bawl, you know, and I was like, okay, get it together, you know. And you know what? This book we study, the Bible, it's a whole story, a whole teaching, it's a whole testimony, a love story about a marriage. Do you know that? It's about a marriage between God and his bride. Jesus Christ and the bride of Christ, God's people. You want to learn about relationships? You go through the scriptures. It's a book about parenting, a father with his children. It's about relationships. Do you know that the Bible in Revelation 19 ends with this amazing wedding feast where all of God's people are there in a heavenly scene where it's called the marriage supper of the Lamb, where Jesus will be united with his bride, God's people, in this beautiful metaphor. And it describes this amazing feast. Now, during this time of fasting, I'm like, I got this vision. That wedding feast, I know, we'll all be sitting there. The food will be prepared. The Father will stand up and greet all of us. And I know what he's going to say. He's going to say, hola, ¿cómo estás? Because I know it's going to be Mexican food. It's just got to be. It's got to be. You know, during this fast, I'm doing good. But whenever there's a commercial Mexican food, it's like, oh, it's heaven. It's heaven. Well, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, this relationship begins with the Holy Spirit coming upon God's people. As we're looking at this life, the life, would you read with me and start in verse 36, chapter 2, verse 36. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to all your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved. Be saved from this perverse generation. Here in the very beginning, Peter, he's telling all that had gathered, thousands of people had gathered together because the Holy Spirit had come upon the small group of people and they were speaking in other languages. It would be as if all of a sudden you didn't know German or Spanish or Russian. You were able to start communicating and praising God in another language. And people were from all over the region started hearing these Jews speaking in other languages. and realize it's a miracle. And then they thought, well, these people must be drunk or something. And so Peter stands up and he starts to testify of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he quotes scripture. In fact, he quotes Joel chapter 2, that this was a fulfillment of a prophecy written hundreds of years earlier. And he quotes Psalm 16, and he quotes Psalm 68. He starts to testify of God's word. If you look on your study guide there, the first note there, the promise of the Holy Spirit brought salvation through God's grace, through the means of faith and repentance. You see, the gospel comes not to make bad people good, but to take dead people and make them alive. People dead to God, dead ultimately, spiritually dead, started all the way in Genesis chapter 3, and that through the work of the gospel, through the work of Jesus Christ, not by our effort, not by our works, not by our being good enough to deserve or try to work our way to cover all the guilt and shame, but by faith. And the Holy Spirit empowered them now to start living the life. You see, the gospel sets us free from all the demands and laws and rules that we can become in the image of Jesus Christ, not by our effort, not by our works of righteousness, the Bible says, but by the work of His Holy Spirit. Even right now, as we sit here and those watching online and joining us, the Holy Spirit, as His word is being read, starts to minister to our hearts. It says here that they were literally cut to the heart or pierced. The only time this word is used, pierced in their heart. God started speaking to hearts. There was a conviction. Some of you perhaps are here. You don't even know why you're here. You were led by a friend or family member. You were brought by someone, and yet God's been stirring. In fact, God's been speaking to you since you were a child. There's been a call in your heart. You've gone your own way, and yet there's this allurement going on in your heart. And as God's word is being read, there's a piercing, a conviction going on in your soul right now. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. It's not me. It's not the sound system. It's not all of the video and production. It's the Holy Spirit is in our midst speaking. And I could be saying something that He's actually speaking, something totally unique that nobody else knows. And it's an issue of your life, an area of failure, an area of pain, brokenness. There's circumstances going on right now that God knows. He brought you here because you sense there's more. There's more to life. Jesus says, I've come to give you life more abundantly. A number of you, about 4 years ago, met with a man, Ron. He's on our pastoral support team. And Ron, he called me up and said, hey, Pastor, I want to get together with you. And I just need to tell you my story. And I sit with him and he says, you don't remember me, do you? I go, no, I don't. I'm sorry. He says, I met you about 20 years ago. I was homeless. And there was a Thanksgiving homeless dinner. And so I came to the dinner, and they had a medical clinic. They had a dental clinic. And you took me around, and I got some clothes, and you took me to the dental clinic. I had a chipped tooth. They fixed it. And then I found out later they weren't supposed to do cosmetic things on the teeth, but I was there too early, and then they got me a resume made, and then they had a job referral. I got the job, and he said, I took the job, got off the street, started to work hard, and eventually, after 20 years, he said, I own several houses, I own a motorhome, I own a boat, I have all these things. My life is totally turned around, and all of a sudden, I realized, what am I doing with my life? I went from here to here, living for myself. And he said, I want to give my life to God. Amen. He just is graduating with a Master of Divinity at Azusa Pacific. Just did his thesis. Not because of any great wisdom on his part. He just, I want to go to seminary. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to dedicate my life. He joined our pastoral support team. He's up here every Sunday praying with people, and he's waiting for us to launch a South County the Rock Church South County, where he can serve on their leadership team as God has been preparing him. His life's been transformed. And yet it took that work of the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Send me. I want the life. And the backside of your study guide has a whole list of scriptures. Over 59 times in the book of Acts, it talks about what the Holy Spirit does. It's the acts of the Holy Spirit, literally. It's not, your Bible may say the Acts of the Apostles, but truly it's the acts of the Holy Spirit. And some of us that are here today, I mean, we have wrong concepts of God, wrong concepts of what he has for us. Some of us have concepts that God is outside of you as a judge, ready to pounce on you if you do anything wrong. You perhaps grew up abandoned by a father. You grew up with an angry dad or parent that you were never good enough. And sadly, that narrative has been put upon God as if he's angry with you. God isn't angry with his children. He loves us. And he's not a judge outside of us coming to judge. But the Bible says Jesus Christ lives in our hearts. The hope of glory, Christ in you, that he loves you. The Bible says that his thoughts towards you are for a future and a hope. You know, when Jesus was fasting, he was tempted by Satan, and Satan came to him and at one point said, turn these rocks into bread. Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Again, temptation came. He says, it is written, worship the Lord your God only serve him. It is written. He responded during the testings with the word of God. It's the word of God that transforms us. Do you realize that it's the word of God that will come and bring salvation? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Psalm 19 describes that conversion comes, the converting of the soul through the word of God. All through the word of God, as God's word plants as a seed in our hearts, starts to grow and starts to transform us. Some of you are lonely, and sometimes you're in a sense, you feel alone and I'm not connected anywhere, and you start to doubt. It is written. It is written, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Some of you feel condemned that I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. We're not worthy, but he is. It is written, therefore there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Some of us are weary and we feel like giving up. It is written, Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You feel unloved. You feel joyless at times. You're sorrowful. It is written, in my presence is fullness of joy. God allures us. He constantly is quickening within our hearts, and yet sometimes we have the wrong narrative of God. My granddaughter, Kennedy, she loves stories, and so sometimes we'll be driving and I'll tell her a story about when I was a little boy, and as I go through the story, this one time I was telling her a story, and she says, Papa, do that story you told me. And I say, well, Kennedy, it's told. She says, okay, told the story to me again. I go, no, it's tell. She goes, Papa, tell and told the story, you know. And so this past week, we were together and we were telling stories. And she says, Papa, I have a story when I was little. So I was sitting on my dad's leg and he had me hold up my hand and said, show me number one. And I held up my finger. Number two, and went to all the fingers. And finally, number five, and she's holding up, and he grabs her hand and says, who do you love, Kennedy? She says, Papa. Yep, there we go. She gets all my inheritance. The will has been redone. And he goes, well, okay, who else do you love? And she says, Grammy. Okay, anybody else you love? And she said, Papa and Grammy. What about your dad? She says, oh, Dad, you know I'll always love you. That story, the narrative of God's love for us, the love I have for my family, my children, my grandchildren, my wife, all of that is just a picture, a metaphor of understanding or even getting a taste of the love that God has for me. God loves you. And sometimes we resist the things. When we encourage you to get connected in ministry, we encourage you to get involved in a community group, it's the life that God has for us. It's not to be lived in isolation. In fact, as we read on here, pick up in chapter 2, verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. Look at this. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Nearly this whole auditorium, that many people, through the work of the Holy Spirit, responded and came to faith, the birth of the church. And they continued steadfastly. That's persistently, almost obstinately. They were committed. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching, in the word, fellowship, in community, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear and reverence came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. In your study guide there, point number 2, it says, the Holy Spirit transformed God's people as they were equipped to live out their faith within community. The first section, the promise of the Holy Spirit came and brought salvation to the people. As they gathered and experienced community, they were now built up and equipped to live out their faith, but they lived it in community. If you look on your study guide there on the back page, there's a quote by Bonhoeffer. He wrote a book as he was in prison during World War II, and his writing, Life Together, he actually wrote it prior to his imprisonment. He says, sin demands to have a person or a man by himself. It withdraws him from the community. The more isolated a person is, the more destructive will be the power of sin over him. It's Proverbs 18, verse 1 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all sound judgment. You know, we are the most socially connected generation throughout history. But studies show we're the most lonely. Recent study found that 53% of 18 to 34-year-olds had felt depressed because of loneliness. Socially connected, but isolated. Dr. Zimbardo, Stanford University, says, I know of no more potent killer than isolation. There's no more destructive influence on physical or mental health than isolation of you from me and us from them. Isolation, listen to this, has been shown to be the central agent in the development of depression, paranoia, schizophrenia, rape, suicide, and mass murder. It's when someone gets disconnected. You know, many can come and go, and you know, church becomes almost an event. It's something I go to. It's something I attend. And rather than it's the life that I live within. Some people will leave a church service and say, you know, I didn't get anything out of it. The whole aspect of the work of God is not that we're getting, but as we come together and walk life together, we experience community, we start to have all things common. We give. Our community is not founded in us having the same likes and desires. In fact, within the Rock Church, it's so beautiful what God is doing. It's a taste of heaven. And there's 10% Caucasian, 10% African American, 10% Asian, 10% Hispanic, 10% Filipino. It's 10% all the way around. You look at it, it's like, wow, you know what we have in common? Jesus Christ. He's in our midst, and it's because of him that we can now experience this oneness. As Scripture says, that Paul said, you know, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not me, it's Christ living in me. This life, some of us are just so busy about the things of life, busy about doing and all the things we have to accomplish. What I've seen in my own life, and now as you have this season of slowing down and fasting, you see, transformation happens slowly. When we slow down and listen and hear God, attend to his voice. It's in your weakness, the Bible says, that we can be strong and find that God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient for us. There's a great word. I don't know if I've shared it here at this service, but over at Impact, and I'm teaching there, came across this word, quotidian. I love words. I love learning new words. Quotidian means mundane, commonplace, every day. It's where God can meet us, and in his presence, we can experience just the fullness of joy. You see, if you take at the end of a meal and you have dishes, and you don't want to necessarily, oh, who does the dishes, loading the dishwasher, those tasks, those mundane tasks. You know, God can be just as close during those tasks as here in a worship service. We're the only ones that are maybe not experiencing him. You take that same bucket of dishes, warm, sudsy water, and put it in front of a five-year-old. Five-year-old will wash the dishes, go one after another, play, and then afterwards put them back in, wash them again, and just delight. Many of you will see a penny on the ground. You just pass by. A four-year-old, five-year-old sees a penny. It's a treasure. Delighting in the simplest of things. That God would enable us to become like little children once again, that we delight in the wonder. We pass by so much of his glory, the beauty of the fresh air, the sunsets, and the breeze in the trees, and the beauty of his creation. We can walk by and miss so much, where if we slow down and experience in the slowness to hear his voice, the tenderness of God bringing the beauty of all that he has for us. You see, relationships take time. We connect slowly. We break bread together, walking life. I encourage you, if you're not connected, it's not a mandate or duty or law, but it's that we bear one another's burdens. We connect and break bread, have meals, and start to become transparent. The end result here, as we look, verse 46, it says, so continuing daily with one accord, in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness, simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Point three, a joyful community was then sent back out into the world that others might be saved. You know our mission statement? These same three sections of Scripture, that a person would be saved, equipped, and then sent. And it happens in community, relationship, not in isolation. It's not good that man would be alone, says in Genesis chapter 2. We were created in his image to experience this oneness. In the lobby, we have our connection point there for you to go to the kiosk, and if you're not connected, ask somebody. They're wearing red shirts. They give you information to connect. There's over 600 connection points throughout the county. Or get plugged into a ministry like Passions that you'll meet people together. Also on the back of the scripture, below that point four, it says the fruit of the Holy Spirit will result in transformation, not just more information, Believers living in community transform the community in which they lived as people witnessed transform lives. I had a call once. It's a pastor in our community. Probably the most difficult day of my life. I work as a fire chaplain. I go to many scenes to help people during trauma. See, this pastor, his teenage daughter had a mental illness. And she was on suicide watch. They couldn't let her out of their sight. And one night, she got out of the house. Family was busy about things. They realized she wasn't there. They went looking for her in the dark. This man looks outside a big oak tree and sees his daughter hanging from a limb. She had hung herself. And screaming in anguish, she runs out, grabs a knife, climbs the tree, and cuts his daughter out of a tree. His son grabbing his sister's legs, screaming, "Dad, don't make me do this. Don't make me do this." I can't even imagine the pain and angst of heart for a dad to go through that. Well, after a day, he and his wife were in isolation. They called me up, said, "Would you come and just be with us?" And drove up. They were in a hotel room, and we walked in, we hugged, and immediately they started to tell the story, and we're wailing. My wife and I were just wailing with them, just brokenhearted. You know, it's not just that we worship and laugh together, but there's times of brokenness where we need each other. As we prayed and we talked, at one point, this dear man, with all beyond what I could even fathom, started to express God's love for him, for his family. He says, "The pain that I'm going through, I've lost my daughter hanging on this tree." He said, "God so loved me. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would just believe in him, his son was hanging on a tree." Because I can't even imagine the love that God has for me, but in my pain, I'm getting a taste that goes beyond human understanding. Because the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In the Son is life. Outside of the Son, there is no life. Some of us are sitting here and God's been piercing your heart. He's been calling you since a child. His son bore the sins, all of your shame. And he says simply, believe, receive. Turn around, repent. Let me empower you to be transformed. As we do here at The Rock, I want to pray for you and give you an opportunity to say, "Jesus, you've pierced my heart. The Holy Spirit is here. He's calling you home." Or maybe you've been with Christ, you're isolated, you've walked away, you're at a place where he's distant from you and you know you need to come home. Come home to his house, to his family. You are his child, but you've gone astray. And God with open arms says, "Come to me." It's not an angry judge. The judgment was taken on the cross of his son for your sins, for my sins. It's a father with open arms wanting his children to run to him, saying, "Abba, Daddy, receive me back." Would you bow your hearts, close your eyes as we pray together? Lord, I thank you so much for this beautiful church. It's your bride. And yet, we have our problems, issues, hurts and wounds. At times we play the hypocrite, and yet even through that, you love us. And I know sitting here that there's some whose hearts are pounding. You've been speaking to them. They can't deny it. You've been drawing them back to you, to a place of the life. You want them to be transformed, to experience the forgiveness. You're longing that they would allow you to start that work, that beautiful work of your Holy Spirit, to make them new, reconciling, making all things new. If that's you, would you just pray this prayer in the quietness of your heart? Say, Jesus, I am so sorry. Your love is overwhelming to me. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. The best way I know how, I pray that you would enable me to turn from my sins. I want to receive you into my life. I pray that you take me and give me a new chance, that you would begin that work of life and transformation. Lord, I love you. I want you. Come into my heart even right now. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if that's your prayer, Jesus died for you publicly on a cross in shame. It's our joy to honor you, and we ask you to stand. Would you just stand right where you are and keep standing? If that's your prayer, you want to give your heart to God, would you stand up in the balcony?